Good evening, one and all. All in one. Our topic for tonight is getting further and further into the story of Yonah. We are right in the beginning of the first chapter. And we're going to talk about Yonah boarding the ship that's going to take off. And I'm going to present my understanding of what Yonah's position is and what the sailor's position is versus Yonah. And what Yonah is meant to learn from this experience. Hashem obviously wants Yonah to do tshuva. There's something that Yonah is to learn specifically from this experience. But before we do that, I want to share with you something else about Yonah's history. We talked a lot about what the word Yonah means, and he's the son of Amittai. We talked about the fact that there's truth connected to what he's doing. We spoke about this last time. Yonah is a nickname of crisis, calling out to Hashem, Yonah, Hashem, please. But it's very interesting, the Medrash says that Yonah, we have a story of Yonah, not by name, which is significant, in the Tanakh, somewhere else in the Tanakh. And that's a story, if we look in the book of Kings, Malachim, volume 1, chapter 17, there's a famous story of Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu obviously is a whole story unto himself, Eliyahu Hanavi. But what Eliyahu Hanavi did over here, specifically, is that Eliyahu was told, hello. Welcome, thank you for coming. Okay. Okay. Thank you for coming. So, we're going to talk about, again, just to update you if you just arrived, we're going to talk about Yonah on the boat tonight. But specifically, I want to add one more thing that's not in your notes and background to Yonah. You know, the Midrash says that Yonah is mentioned in the Tanakh elsewhere in a famous story. The story is as follows. We know that during the first temple period, Eliyahu was the main prophet in the time of the first temple. Eliyahu Hanavi. And you may be familiar with the story of the Tanakh, you may not be, but I'll just update you a little bit on that story. During that time, there was a wicked king by the name of Ahav. And Ahav actually murdered all of the authentic prophets of Hashem at that time. Ahav, he was a wicked king from Israel. I'm sure that you know a lot about Ahav. I just want to develop it a little bit. And Ahav was searching for Eliyahu, and Ahav wanted to murder Eliyahu Hanavi, and Eliyahu Hanavi was hiding, and Eliyahu did not want to pray on behalf of the Jewish people at the time. So, listen to my words. Eliyahu didn't want to pray for the Jewish people at the time. Okay? Because he wanted Hashem to prevail and for the Jewish people to do teshuva. And he knew that if he would pray for the Jewish people, Hashem would bring rain and the famine would cease. And people would not do teshuva. And Eliyahu Hanavi said, "Kano kinesi l'Hashem tzavakos." I have a very strong passion, desire for standing up for Hashem's honor, and I'm not going to pray for the Jewish people. If you're following our classes, if you're here and you're listening, you'll notice that we're talking about a lot about the choice a Navi has to make between standing up for Hashem or standing up for the Jewish people. So Eliyahu Hanavi decides I'm going to stand up for the Jewish people. In that time of famine, Eliyahu is told by Hashem at one point, go to this widow lady, this widow, and she'll sustain you. So he arrives at her home, and he says to the widow, give me a little water to drink. So she gives him a little water, and he says, make me a cake. She says, I can't make you a cake. I have a spoonful of flour, And here I am outside collecting two little pieces of wood to make a little fire to bake the little pancake that I can make for my family. My husband died, probably in the famine, I don't know the history, and I'm preparing a little pancake for myself and my child. Eliyahu Navi said, listen, I want you to go and make this pancake. I want you to give it me first. Give me some first. Eliyahu was a Kohen, by the way. Give me some first, and from there on, you should eat, and I promise you, in the name of Hashem, a prophecy, he basically tells her, that this food will never stop. You'll have oil and flour and water, and you'll have enough until the rainy season begins. So we're talking a little bit about the history of Yonah, a little bit more on the biography of Yonah. So we're in the story of Eliyahu Navi in the times of the first base of Mikdash. So briefly, just a quick update. Eliyahu Navi is told to go to this widow. She's going to sustain him. She barely has food. He tells her a prophecy. If you give me the food first, I'll promise it'll last. And it does. Guess what? This woman has a son. Eliyahu Navi is living with this almana, this widow, and her son. And one day her son gets sick and dies. It actually says in the words, it's a really interesting chapter to study, along with the Sefer of Yonah. It says, his illness was so strong, ad asher lo nosra bo neshama, to the point that he could no longer breathe. So at some point, he just died. Okay? Then the woman turns to Eliyahu and says, obviously this is by design, Hashem is in charge of the world. So she turns to Eliyahu and she says, listen, you're a great Ish Elohim, you're a great lofty person, you come and live in my house, you make me look bad, and now for my little sins, or my whatever sins I have, now my son dies.
Hello. Oh, welcome to your home. Better late than ever.
Yes.
Right?
Welcome. Thank you for hosting our class.
Oh, thank you for being
here. In your absence. Okay.
What should the Gehati?
Huh?
What should the Gehati?
No. Sofati. Huh? Yeah. So he's living, and she says, you know, because of your sins, my son has died. So Eliyahu says, give him to me. So he takes the dead child up to the attic. There's a similar story about his student, Elisha, who did Tchias Mason twice, once in his lifetime, once in his death, actually. But Eliyahu takes the child up, and three times Eliyahu lies on top of the child, and he davens to Hashem. And he revives the child, and he returns the child to this woman. And she says, now I know. Listen to these words. It's a it's something for us to keep up. If I had a classroom, I'd post the chapter on the side. It's something for us to keep up and refer to as we go. I'd also put the story of Noach on the side, but because it's not my house, I'm not going to do it. So, I would put the story of Eliyahu over here and the story of Noach over here as parallel narratives to the story of Yonah. Listen to the last pasuk. Vatomer ha'isha al Eliyahu. The woman says to Eliyahu, Ataze yadati. Now I'm surely confident. Ki ish Elohim ata. That you're a man of God. Till now, you know, you made a miracle, but I wasn't 100% sure. Now I know. Udvar Hashem beficha emes. And the word of Hashem in your mouth is true. Guess who that child is? Yonah. Lo and behold, the child of this woman, says the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, on Yonah says that this child was Yonah. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, please. It's a very deep thing. Who is Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi is, we know from Pinchas, Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi, like we mentioned, just before you arrived, we mentioned that Eliyahu HaNavi is a zealot, is that how you say it? A zealot? He's a kanai for Hashem. And he's leading a path which is not what you would intend or you would think a Navi would lead. Hanavi's compassion for the Jewish people. Where's the leadership? Eliyahu says, forget the Jewish people. I'm not praying for them. There will be a famine. I only want to stand up for Hashem's honor. So listen to that. Eliyahu is walking a very thin line. He's walking a very narrow path as an individual. As a leader of Am Yisrael, a very narrow path. And he's being sustained during the famine. And he has to go through this experience of reviving this child, obviously through his connection with Hashem, doing the miracle of reviving the dead. That's what he goes through. And Yonah comes up from there. Who is Yonah? Yonah's also a person who walked this very fine line of not doing what Hashem would want, like the ideal, the, you know, sort of the classic narrative that we would expect from a Navi Yisrael, for a prophet of Israel. He's escaping Hashem. He's also walking on thin ice. He has to be revived by Eliyahu. So I want you to please, in your minds, make a connection. Here we go. Between Noach, Eliyahu, and Yonah. And we're going to get to the fish. Okay? There is, and then we'll bring out the child. But there is a line. There is a line between Yonah, Noach, Eliyahu, and Yonah. These are leaders that are walking a fine line. Noach is walking the fine line of standing up and doing the moral thing in an immoral society. He's not, and what does Noach not do?
He doesn't teach others.
Is that what we would expect from a leader? A world leader? No. Eliyahu is in a time of famine. He's not praying for the Jewish people because he wants everyone to do teshuvah because he insists that they have to do teshuvah. Okay, I'm not rejecting that. That's a path one can choose. We'll get back to that point in a moment. But that's another interesting course of leadership. And now we have Yonah. And there are connections and themes that connect the story of Noach, Eliyahu, and Yonah, and we'll get to the fish, that makes the connection all the way that there is a path of leadership to take, which is a difficult path, which is not the classic narrative that you expect. And Hashem is not angry with anybody. He's not angry with Noach. Do we ever find a pasuk in the Torah that says, Noach, why don't you walk around the place and bring people back to do tshuva? You don't find Hashem upset with them? Do you find Hashem upset with Eliyahu? What do you mean you're not davening? The Jewish people are starving out there and you're not davening? Doesn't say that. Yonah, what are you running to Tarshish for? Don't you do tshuva? Don't you want to do tshuva? Bring, you know, go and do my nevuah? That means, like we've said before, I think it's the third time I'm saying it now, the same idea, which is, there's a truth, there's a truism to such a leadership by Noach. It may not be the classic narrative that we want to teach our leaders of tomorrow to take. We're not going to tell people, be an individual, don't care about the community, care about God. Don't care about God, care about the community. Don't care about the community, don't care about God, care about yourself. Whatever the thing, you know, be a role model for the world, you know. But that's not what we're going to teach people about leadership. We're going to tell them be devoted to God and be devoted to the people. But we don't teach our leaders of tomorrow about conflict. We don't teach them about when the narrative of helping, of standing up for Hashem's honor is a absolute antithesis of standing up for the people. Or standing up for the people is an antithesis of standing up for Hashem. These are stories of leadership. Noach, Eliyahu, Yonah, and the fish. We'll get to the fish. My point is, I want to show you that from the very, very beginning of Yonah's life, if you will, Yonah's born during the first temple period to a woman who's then widowed, supports Eliyahu Navi, great leader of Israel, obviously. But he's brought back to life by a person he's, if you will, the spirit of Eliyahu HaNavi, if you will, is blown into Yonah. If you want to say Yonah is like an extension, a Talmud, a reincarnation of Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm sure when Yonah was revived as a child, I'm sure Eliyahu HaNavi maintained a relationship with Yonah. Okay? Yonah didn't turn out to be Yonah HaNavi without his relationship with Eliyahu. They might have learned together. I have no idea. I don't know what their relationship was beyond the story that's in the Tanakh. But presumably, Eliyahu maintained a meaningful connection with this family and with this child that he brought back to life. The only person he brought back to life in his lifetime. No doubt there was a special connection. And if we will, if you can, follow my path, the spirit of Eliyahu goes into Yonah. And now we can understand Yonah's feeling of standing up for the Jewish people. His Rebbe, Eliyahu HaRavi, stood up for Hashem in face of choosing Hashem over choosing the Jewish people. Yonah also needs to make a difficult choice. Obviously, it's not by chance that Hashem put a shidduch between Eliyahu and Yonah. Yonah will have a task. But this is the call of leadership during the first temple era. That's what Yonah is going through. I want us to maintain that connection between Eliyahu and Yonah. It's very important. And now we get to the segment, which is an excellent segue to what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to read the psukim in a moment. Yonah going on to the boat. You know, at the core of a leader, of leadership, like a person like Noah, like a person like Eliyahu, and like a person like Yonah, the foundation is a foundation of emes. How can Eliyahu, for example, be a zealot for Hashem, Kanoki Nesi L'Hashem Tzavakos, how can he be a zealot for Hashem if he's not well grounded on truth? What is he exactly a zealot about? About his feelings? No. Because then he would just daven for the Jewish people. Because if it's his feelings or caring for the Jewish people, certainly he would care for the Jewish people. Eliyahu HaNavi believes 150%. He believes that he's doing the right thing. And Hashem is not upset with him. Right? He's doing the right thing in not praying for the Jewish people during this time, so that they do teshuvah. He has to take the hard line, the hard path, in order for them to do teshuvah. That, such a person, is so, the truth is so crystal clear to such a person, we cannot even appreciate the veracity of that truth to that person. Yonah HaNavi, also, Yonah ben Amitai, Yonah HaNavi is established and grounded on truth. Did you hear, by the way, I'm sorry, I just wanted to emphasize that before. What did the woman say to Eliyahu after he revived the child? She says, now I know you're a true man of God. Udvar Hashem beficha emes. It's true. It's truth. Meaning, I see that you really speak the truth. You know what I see? I see that your theology and your philosophies and your world visions and who you think you are and so on, it actually takes grasp in this world, and it's effective. I see its emes. Yonah's path is also to search for emes, for truth. He knows he's founded in truth, but he's a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. He's not as great as Eliyahu HaNavi, for sure. He's not as great as Eliyahu HaNavi. And he's searching for the truth. Now, he's founded on the principles that he learned from his Rebbe, Eliyahu. But he's taking a leap. He's really doing it now on his own. By ditching and not going to Nineveh. He encounters an experience on the boat which is so heartbreaking. It pulls your heart, it tugs at your heart, this story. And I think we'll be able to connect with it. I hope we'll be able to connect with it and see what's so difficult. You know, on a personal note, as someone who had a Rebbe, who taught me a certain path, and who's passed on, and now living my own life, a Talmud has different challenges than a Rebbe. Right? Things, I mean, we're not the same people, and so on. You have a certain, you're given certain principles, you're given certain approaches that you invest, that you internalize. But then you're presented with a new situation, and you need to test your tools on a new situation. The test that Yonah HaNavi had is nothing like the test of Eliyahu. Eliyahu, the truth was absolutely clear to him, 100%. And when he stood against the Nevi'ei HaBaal, the idolaters of Baal, to show that God is true, and everyone said, Hashem Hu Elohim, Hashem Hu Elohim, when they all realized the truth, to Eliyahu that was obvious. I mean, there was nothing, Eliyahu Rabbi, it was clear to him. Eliyahu was the core of truth. That's what Eliyahu Rabbi, the truth resonated with him. I mean, that was who Eliyahu was. He was MS. Eliyahu HaNavi. But giving that over to Yonah, you can give over that passion to a student. But the student has to test it in a new situation. And there's a certain sense of uncertainty. You know the path is true. But you're very glad when you see it happen. Similar to, does anyone remember a story in the Tanakh where we have a Rebbe and we have a student where the student realizes, oh, I'm not going to give it away. Oh, this is working. Anybody remember a story? I'll limit it. I'll break it down for you. It's in the Chumash. I'll break it down some more. It's in the Book of Bereishit. And I'll break it down even more. It's in the first half of Bereishit. I'll break it down even more. Parashat Chayei Sarah. I'll break it down even more. It's in Shlishi. Doc, help us out.
What are we looking for?
We're looking for a Rebbe in a Talmud where the Rebbe is 100%, it's 100% clear to him. But the student is unsure. And he has to face a new circumstance. And he has to apply the tools that his Rebbe taught him. Who are we talking about? In Chayei Sarah. We're talking about Abraham and Eliezer. What happens? Abraham Avinu says, don't think away from me over here. Go to my birthplace, to her costume, take from there. What does Eliezer say to Abraham? Ulai lo tovei shal alechet acharai. Maybe. I believe you, Avraham Avinu. God created the world. Elohei Hashemayim Elaretz Shelakachani Nebeis Avinu. God, you know, orchestrates history. Eliezer, you should believe it with perfect faith. I do, Rebbe. I do. 100%. I really do. Okay. But what if she doesn't want to come with me? You know? Okay. Oh, she's going to go on the way. Oh, look at this. Amazing thing. What happened? Ladies and gentlemen, we all know the story. He's impressed by the fact that, boom, within a day he's there. And the first girl that he goes to, and he's so excited about it, that he goes and he tells Lavan and Bethuel, right, about the story that happened. And when he comes back, he tells Yitzchak, and does Yitzchak jump up and down and say, hooray, it's a miracle! No, Yitzchak says, okay, Rivka, let's go, let's get married. Because the Yitzchak and Avram, the Bitachon and the Emunah is 100% clear. But Eliezer is not Yitzchak and Avram. Eliezer is a Talmud. Eliezer is a Talmud of Yitzchak and Avram. Eliezer has to test his tools on the road. And that's what Yonah needs to do as well. But Yonah's confronted with people like Bethuel and Lavan. Yonah's confronted by people that are testing the world. And not sure. I'm not sure there's a God. Well, maybe there's many gods. In fact, let's get all the gods together. Maybe they'll save us from the storm. Let's make a council of gods. That way, for sure, we'll cover our bases. That's what Yonah needs to deal with. Now, the most heartbreaking part of the story is that Yonah is running away from Hashem, but he's in defense of the truth. That's a very, very confusing narrative to share with someone who doesn't know the truth. If I tell you, listen, you know the truth, I know the truth. I understand you're taking the classic narrative, but I am choosing not the classic narrative. We both agree to the truth. But if I need to convince you of the truth, when I myself am running away from the source of the truth, which is also a true part of the narrative, that's also a truism, what a storm. Aha. What a storm! That's why there's a storm. Because the storm is what's going on inside of Yonah. On one hand, Yonah has to tell the sailors, he has to tell them, and the captain, he has to tell them, gentlemen, I'm a Jew! There's a God! He created the world! I believe in Him! I'm running away from Him. You are? So how can you convince me that you believe in God if you're running away from God? Can't sell that story to me. You know, I believe in many gods. I'm not sure if I believe in another God. Let's try out your God. Let's take lotteries. Let's throw you into the sea. let's scream to your God. We'll see if He answers. If He does, then, you know, let's see what happens to you when we throw you into the water. If God, you know, eventually, you know, you survive, then I'll give it, you know, let me see what happens. But you cannot convince a person to the core of the truth if you're not taking the classic narrative. Yonah is having an internal, major, major crisis. Yonah, crisis. He has to defend that there is a God, and there's a truth. But on the other hand, he's not playing by that tune. Because, not because he doesn't believe in it. He believes in it, but it's because he believes in it so much that he has to make difficult choices that other people that are outside can't understand. That's what's happening with Yonah on the ship. So when we read the Psukim, we're going to look for signs where the sailors are not sure. And they're looking, they're testing the waters. You know, they want to see if it's true or not, what Yonah is saying. And then they have a crisis when they realize that Yonah's not, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Yonah doesn't say, okay, fine, it's me, let's go to Nineveh. You know, or it's me, you know, let me off at the closest port, I'll walk to Nineveh, or I'll do Teshuvah. Yonah's not giving in. Yonah says, there is a God, but I'm not doing this. Throw me into the sea. So he fails in his mission. He can't convince the sailors until the end of the story. When the fish spits him out, he cannot convince them of the truth. He will not be able to convince them of the truth. And what we're looking for in Yonah, so in the sailors, we're looking for places where we can see that they're doubting. In Yonah, we're looking for where he's trying to convince them, and where he draws a line in the sand and says, listen guys, it's true, but I can't come over to that other side and prove it to you. Okay? Now it's up to you. Because I've taken a certain position. Do you hear? Do you hear this? And this is Yonah's path returning to Hashem. I mean, let's ask ourselves a question. Why is Hashem putting Yonah through this? Because Hashem wants Yonah to return to the truth. He wants Yonah to do Teshuvah. How will Yonah do Teshuvah? If he has to defend the truth in front of other people. Like, it's like that person, just no name, you know, fictional individual, who was once an Orthodox Jew, whatever, was practicing, would believe with perfect faith, and then said, you know, the heck with it, I'm going to give this up. And he goes and he becomes, you know, totally unaffiliated, and let's make up all kinds of crazy stories, and he becomes intermarried, and he becomes assimilated, and, you know, he's totally not Jewish and everything. And then one day he's on a university campus, I don't know, and someone's screaming, you know, death to the Jews, or whatever, I don't know, you know. And he says, how dare you say that? They say, well, who are you? You don't look Jewish, you know. You don't dress Jewish, you don't look Jewish at all. He says, well, I'm a Jew. And I'm going to stand up for this. They say, oh yeah, if you're Jewish, well, do you keep Shabbat? Do you keep kosher? Is your wife, are your kids Jewish? Do you marry Jewish? Do you belong to the Jewish community? No, none of the above. Well, you're going to convince us that we should, you know, yeah, we're not talking about people like you, we're talking about people, you know, whatever. No, then he stands up. That sort of thing really wakes up a person and says, stand up for who you are. That's what Hashem wants Yonah to do, to stand up for the truth.
I don't know what Hashem wants to do, but I have Chad loves his father.
Yes.
But sometimes Chad wants to check how much his father loves him by doing something that his father doesn't like him to do. It depends. I think everybody every. And Yonah knows he gets from his father, Hashem,
yes,
instruction to do something. He says, okay, let me, don't do it.
Yes.
To see if Hashem really cares about me.
Yes.
Because I need to get this confidence that Hashem and me working together.
Okay.
So he gets, say, I'm going to Tarshish to see, oh, what Hashem can do for me. The storm. Now I get some hint that Hashem is around. Before he was by himself going. Then he was completely singled out around all the other people. Mm-hmm. I say, oh, now it's better. Now I have confidence that he's not afraid to jump to the water or to be thrown to the water.
And
because
so
Hashem is with me.
Yeah, I agree. There's no doubt that there are different ways to look at the story.
There are different ways.
Definitely different ways to look at the story. I'm not saying the narrative that I'm presenting is the one and only narrative, but I'm understanding it based, my understanding is coming based on what I read in the Midrash about the sort of conversations Yonah is having with himself and with others, and looking at the psukim. That's the approach that I take, but I understand that there could be multiple narratives here. 100%.
And Midrash, I usually is on a particular target.
Yes.
Parents don't understand the target, but they have all kinds of surprises.
Yes.
And they try to understand what's going on. And the Midrash may, some maybe not to say to this point of person wants to question Hashem.
Okay.
It happened with Eeyore, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some other people that question Hashem and see how strong is Hashem. Because, not because they don't have emunah,
but because they want to feel the love of Hashem.
The consciousness.
I understand. I'm not, again, the narrative that I'm suggesting is not, I've developed sort of an impression based on studying the Nevi'im over here and studying the Midrash that sort of shaped my understanding. And I want to share that with you. We'll learn through some of this. Okay. I want to again encourage, I emailed everyone the document, so you could print it up at home, you could read it at your convenience, you could bring it to class if you want. It's a good easy text to read, and it'll help us follow along the narrative. So let's look for some clues in the text. Okay, so we're looking at the story of Yonah. Okay. So we have three people, three characters in this story, if you will. We have Hashem, we have Yonah, and we have the sailors. Can someone share what they think? The way I'm presenting it, and I appreciate your approach, okay, I'm just going to go with the way I presented the class, but, you know, can someone present what's Hashem's perspective or point of view? What is Hashem trying to get across to Yonah? And what is Hashem trying to get across to the sailors? Assuming that Yonah, again, with respect to what you've said, but I'm going to take my approach. What is Hashem trying to communicate to Yonah, and what is he trying to communicate to the sailors about the truth of his existence, and that you cannot run away from Hashem? Does he have a unique message to Yonah? Does he have a unique message to the sailors? What's the message? Is it unique? Is it the same message? What's he saying to Yonah? What's he saying to the sailors? What do you think would be the approach that Hashem would take over here? Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
but I think that Hashem gives Yonah a command. And he tells him what to do and where to go. And I'm not sure that... I mean, God knows what Yonah's going to do.
Okay.
But I think that this is, I'm not sure that God told him what to do, but he knew that he'd need to come around it in a different way.
Okay.
And that was to Yonah.
So what in that way would be, can you articulate that a little
well,
more?
Well, I mean, we don't know the whole story until after Yonah gets angry at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's just talk about the boat. Yonah boards the boat.
Right.
Okay.
And the sailors don't know anything.
They don't know anything. They're just sailors on the boat.
Yes.
You know, they're all, you know, they have their little parcels and they're on the boat and they're... And Yonah just bought the boat and he says, off to Tunis, or Tunisia, or Tarshish, or whatever, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're cruising through the Mediterranean.
Right. And
so what's Hashem's plan for Yonah and the sailors?
I think that if Yonah needs to convince the sailors that there is a God, because Yonah is Emes. And so God gives him the vehicle with which to do it, because he says this whole storm is coming because of me. I mean, I am the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So throw me out and you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't, no one in their right mind says throw me off the boat.
We're going back to the beginning. He boards the boat. He's getting on the boat. Here we can look at this beautiful picture over here. It's Yafo. Yonah's walking along. Is that Venice? Okay. Yonah's walking along, and he boards one of the boats, and there's 50 sailors on the boat. It's a lot larger, and whatever, 10 sailors on the boat, and they're about to take off to Tarshish. What, at that point, when they're about to take off, Hashem, so to say, is thinking, what are my objectives for Yonah? What do I want Yonah to accomplish on this? What am I going to try to teach Yonah on this mission? And what am I going to try to teach the sailors? Maybe I don't have a mission for the sailors. Maybe that's Yonah's issue.
I'm in control.
You know? I'm in control.
I'm in control.
Why is that the message to Yonah? I'm in control.
Because he makes a decision to run away. He has his own perception of what could happen to Klal Yisrael if he does what Hashem tells him to do.
Right.
And but God is saying, I'm running the ship, or not. I'm doing it. So I think that when he's already on the boat, he knows, and he says, okay.
Jimmy, you're shaking your head. No.
It's like you can't run away. You can't.
Is that so? I want to take that for a moment, okay? So what's happening? Yonah's boarding the boat. So Hashem says, no way. You're not running away from me. I'm not letting you do this. Or, is there a different approach that Hashem might take? Hashem can pick up Yonah and do whatever he wants with him. But as we know, Hashem wants Yonah to learn. How will Yonah learn effectively from this event? Is it saying to Yonah, I am in control. Get it through your thick skull. It's my world. You can't run away. Get back to dry land. You know, is he like lecturing Yonah? What does he want Yonah to, what is Hashem's goal for Yonah? Is it defying Yonah's position? What is the approach that Kodesh Baruch is going to take with Yonah? What's he going
to
do?
He needs to come to that realization himself through this whole experience.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Does Yonah think Hashem is not in control? Let's articulate this well. What does Yonah think? What does Yonah think? That Hashem is not in control? What does I'm just trying to develop it. What is Yonah thinking? Is Yonah thinking Hashem is not in control?
Maybe he's wondering what the next sign is going to be.
I'm the weak person.
What the next sign is going to be?
From God.
Okay.
That God is in control, but he's making a stand, just like the one before him when he did.
And basically saying, okay, let's see what you're going to do now.
No. He's taking a stand when he decided to run away, just like Eliyahu took a stand. And he said to B'nai Israel, you know, you're on your own.
Right.
And Yonah is taking a stand and saying, I have to show, I have to, the emphasis that I love them and I care what happens, and if they, if the people of Nineveh repent, God's going to be even angrier with Bnei Israel because they will do
it. So what does he want from Hashem? Is he looking to gauge Hashem's reaction? Is he confident in that position? Maybe yes, maybe no. I raised the possibility that he isn't. What's Hashem saying back to Yonah?
I'll be with you. I'll save you.
And I'll let you do what you want to do?
No, not necessarily, but yes, I guess it would be. But I will be with you. You're not alone.
Okay.
You have to make your own decision, but you're not alone.
Okay, so I will be with you. Said a little bit what I heard from Oded before. Oded said, you know, he feels that Hashem is around him.
And
Hashem
wants to give him the confidence.
He wants to give him the confidence, I'm with you.
Yeah, so I can go to Nineveh.
So part of what I hear that Yonah's experiencing in this event is that Yonah's experiencing a loneliness. Yonah feels like, whoa, I thought Hashem was on my team. Okay. So now it's Hashem and the world and Jewish history and everyone else against Yonah. Mm-hmm. Now Yonah is all alone. And Hashem says, no, Yonah, I love you. I'm with you. You're not alone. I'm right here. That's what I heard from, I don't know if I'm analyzing that properly, but Yonah feels a loneliness. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay? Anyone else want to share another thought?
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to convince the people of Nineveh, right? Yonah. Yonah is basically not something extraordinary. And he needs lots of petting to convince him to do his job. Because without convincing, 100% it's difficult.
Okay.
He needs a run from Hashem, as I said before, just to get the extra support of Hashem. Now immediately come another challenge, which is convincing the sailors, which about the same kind of job he have to do later in Nineveh.
So, one moment. So, okay. What I heard from you then is Yonah needs a lot of coaxing to be convinced to do Nineveh. And now that he boarded the ship, now he's got another task. He also has to convince the sailors. Okay, by the way, the sailors until now, who are the sailors? Who cares? Let them row the boat, let them guide the ship. I don't care, I'm going to sleep, let them do their job. I'm on a cruise. Let them do their job, you know. And when we get there, wake me up. You know, but now you're suggesting Yonah has another social responsibility that he just took upon himself. He just entered a new environment. Now, not only does he have to head to Nineveh, now also he just put himself in the midst of non-believers or whatever the situation is, and he has to, you know, he has a chiyuv to open up a kollel and start kiyuv and say, everybody, let's go! Come on, Orthodox community! Okay.
No, he's not to save the sheep.
Huh?
He has to save the sheep that he has to save Nineveh.
Okay, it's to save the ship. Okay. Okay, let's move to the next thing. What's Hashem's relationship? What's Hashem's goal for the Malachim? Does Hashem have an objective for these sailors? I mean, Yonah happens to be on the ship. They're no different than any other ship in that way. I mean, there's thousands of millions of ships in the ocean with sailors on them. Does Hashem have an interest in these sailors per se? In these particular sailors?
No.
I'm suggesting probably not. Unless they're a unique group of people. Unless there's something about them. The Midrash says that on this boat, the Midrash is saying, and of course we're taking that to understand it in a larger concept, the Midrash says that from all the 70 nations of the world, there was a representation on the ship. Yeah. So there were sailors from all the 70 nations of the world. So this is a microcosm of world society. Mm-hmm. Yonah, the prophet, has to now speak to the world. And he did. He did take upon himself another social responsibility. Does Hashem have an invested interest? Yes, he does. Because Hashem wants his message to reach the people. And guess what? He's got a star on the boat. Yonah could do something to talk to these people, because they might go back to their communities, which they do, and they might really spread the word. Great, which they do. So that Hashem does have an invested interest in the Malachim. What does Hashem want them to experience on the boat? the Malachim? What does he want them to experience? I'm developing this with you, everybody. What does he want them to experience?
Emunah.
He wants them to experience Emunah. He wants them to experience that he is the one and only. Not that there's a God. Because they're coming from all kinds of cultures. Polytheistic cultures. You know, they believe in all sorts of things. Mythologies, you know, witchcraft. I mean, they have everything on the boat. You know, everyone with his little geshka in his pocket and little, you know, snuffy and smelly and all their different things that they might have and little, you know, voodoo dolls or whatever else they might have on there. Hashem wants to say, I am the one and only. So the message to them is, I am the one and only. And I want to suggest that the message to Yonah, I want to offer that the message to Yonah, based on the Medrash, is to change Yonah's perception. The word perception was here. I think you used it, Elizabeth. To change Yonah's perception that there's security and there's safety. Yonah, you think the whole world rests on your shoulders. Because if you go to Nineveh and you tell them to do tshuva, oh no, the world will collapse because God will get angry and everything will come tumbling down and the Jewish people will be exiled and you have this enormous responsibility that if you don't stand up and say, I'm not taking this and push it off, you will bring down the world. Yonah, I've got news for you. I've got the world under control. Not that I'm in control. Wait, I don't mean to place the minutes, but not that it's me and not you, but rather Yonah. Yeah. My Tyra kind. Look, I want to show you. Everything is okay. There are foundations to the world, and the world runs on Chesed, and Hashem orchestrated Yetzias Mitzrayim. And they weren't the best people when they came out of Mitzrayim, but I saved them anyways. And there's an end to the Gullus. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. All I want you to do is what you need to do. I know, Yonah, you care deep and down about the world community and the Jewish people and your God. And you need to make a difficult choice. And I compliment you. I'm never going to get upset with you for being so inspired by your world's vision, by what you believe so deeply in your heart. But I want you to know something more. You're in a place that's safe. The world is not going to collapse. It's not going to collapse. And when I told you to go to Nineveh, I was not telling you to bring down world order. Therefore, Yonah, you know what my goal is for you? I want you to get deep down into the water. You know why? Because when you're in the water, you're going to have out-of-body experience. I'm going to take you to the supernatural. Where no man has gone before. Like the Amchadri. But I'm going to take you somewhere. Have we ever read of such a ridiculous story in Tanakh? No. Is it ridiculous? No. Hashem is crossing the lines to change the perception of a Navi, that he's in control. We're going to study this more and more. But the Midrash teaches that the fish went down into the very depths and saw the foundations of the world and saw the foundation stone that was in the Beis HaMikdash and saw, you know, Gehenom, and saw Gan Eden, and saw that there's a larger context of things functioning. You know, I can't help but take this to a different context for a moment. We often think that we have to make really important decisions in our life. And if we make the wrong decision, the world will fall apart. And we need to know that Hashem appreciates the fact that we take life so seriously. But we also need to know that there's a context. And Hashem is holding up the world. it's not our job to hold up the world. We just need to do what we need to do. So is Yonah's leadership a wrong leadership? It's a passionate leadership. It's guided by true feeling, by true belief. But ultimately, it's not the perfect faith. And here again, ladies and gentlemen, a connection to Noach. Chazal tell us that Noach was mekatne amana. Noach belittled his faith because he didn't enter the ark, the teva, until the water pushed him in. Mipnei me'amavol. Yonah also, as faithful as he is, as passionate as he is, he's missing something big. He doesn't have the security and the trust in Hashem that's necessary to function as a Navi. Very important. If we think, and I'm getting a personal thing, if we think that we need to hold up the world with our life decisions, then we are paralyzing our ability to function in our mission. Our mission needs to be focused on doing our job. Hashem runs the world. That's not our job. That's His job description. My job is to do this, and His job is to do that. You know? And that's what Hashem's message to Yonah. So if I were to say, what's Hashem's objective for Yonah? What's Hashem's objective for the sailors? I would say, for the sailors, come in contact with the truth. See what it means. You might not buy it, but at least you've seen it. You might go back and talk about it over the dinner table when you're sitting amongst polytheistic company. But it'll come up. You know, I was on this boat. This craziest thing happened to me. And I think there might be something to it. What do you say? No, it can't be. Well, you know, I'm not sure. Okay, that is success. That's Hashem's objectives for the sailors. Because they're a microcosm of the world. For Yonah, it's Yonah. There's a bigger context out there. So when Hashem makes the storm, and I'm taking a different position than you, respectfully, Oded, when Hashem makes the storm, it's to put the sailors in desperation and to get Yonah off the boat. Mm-hmm. Get off the boat. Get into the fish. I want the fish to give you a grand tour of creation. I want you to experience the supernatural. So the storm, and this is an amazing thing, and I apologize because of the time, and we can't go through the text right now, but we will go through the text, I promise. When you look in there, I'm going to conclude now, Rachel. The Rav HaChovel, the captain, comes to Yonah and says, famous, the Sfardim sing this in Slichot, Malachan Yodam, right? Why are you sleeping? Why are you sleeping? Get up, call to your God. No response from Yonah. Yonah doesn't say anything. So they draw lots. Yonah, where are you from? Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, throw me in the water. The point is, when the captain of the ship comes and says, what are you sleeping for? Get up and daven. Doesn't say Yonah got up and davened. Yonah didn't daven. Because Yonah realizes they're going through something and I'm going through something. Their reaction to me has nothing to do. He's not talking to me. He's really talking to himself. Saying, my goodness, there's a person on the boat who's not davening to his God? Let's find the real God. Now's the time. It's a time of crisis. Yonah doesn't have to say anything. Yonah doesn't have to daven. In fact, Yonah not davening will put him even more in an alarm and say, don't you hear me, man? Get up and daven! We're going to die! You know? This guy's crazy. Scream even more to God. Because they realize it's desperate. So it's not a story about Yonah's reaction. Yonah doesn't say anything back. Because Yonah realizes they're going through their own thing. They're encountering truth. I don't know what Yonah doesn't know what it's all about for him. He knows that he has to just, he says, put me in the sea. Why put me in the sea? Hashem clearly wants me off the boat. It's because of me. And Hashem wants me off the boat. What will happen to me in the sea? I don't know. I don't know. Yonah doesn't know. What does he think? he might drown. Okay, so at least he died. And sure, he's finished. The job's over. You know, he's on to the next world. Okay, he's finished. But Hashem has a plan. Yonah doesn't know the plan. All of a sudden, Hashem planted a fish from 6 days of creation. The fish that will change your mind about the way you look at the world in order to bring you on the path of tshuva. And that's the fish that comes. So, I think we need to develop this more. But in summary, Yonah comes from Eliyahu Navi. He's founded on truth, like Eliyahu was. But Yonah's a student. He's not the Rebbe. Yonah has to confront truth in a different way. He's dealing with the Melachim, the people that are polytheisms and polytheistic, and they don't know, and they're searching for the truth, and he has to listen to that, and he will have to defend the truth. And Hashem's goal with Yonah is to say, very nice, you lived with your Rebbe, and your Rebbe taught you very nicely to stand up for what you believe in, no matter what, and stand up for the truth. Very good. But you're not Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, he had a true vision of the world. You have an adopted vision of the world. And with your adopted vision of the world, I need to show you and train you and mentor you and show you what else there is going on in the world so you can have the security to do your job as a Navi. And that's your challenge. So you know, this challenge is much greater than Eliyahu's in some sense, because he has to contend with the change.